Okay, if you want to turn in your Bibles to John, the last chapter, chapter 21. Just picture the scene. Jesus has recently been crucified, and all his friends, the disciples, have gone through the most traumatic experience of their lives, confused, wondering what happens in their lives now. And then Jesus has appeared to them a number of times, and there's a wonderful hope, an expectation, an excitement about what happens next, but still a lot of confusion, I think, still a lot of nervousness about what's next. And then a lot of the disciples, who are fishermen, have said, well, let's go fishing. And they fish in the night time, and they've fished through the night and haven't had any success, probably a bit cold and a bit fed up. And then someone on the shore tells them to cast their nets on the other side, and a whole host of fish comes into the net. And of course, the memories come flooding back from when that last happened, and the fact that it was Jesus that told them to put the nets on the other side. And then they realize it's Jesus again, and he's there waiting for them on the beach. And Peter jumps out of the boat, as he usually does something rash, and rushes to meet with Jesus. And there they are on the beach again with Jesus. And Jesse's just going to read the final bit of John chapter 21 from verse 12.
Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written.
Amen. Thank you, Jesse. Wonderful. Let's welcome James, shall we? Do you need this? Okay. As I pray, let's all pray, both for James and for ourselves. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you speak right to our hearts, right to our innermost needs. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here with us and that you're ready to share to each one of us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would anoint James here, that you bless all the preparation that he's done, and that you would speak through him to each of us as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless
you. Hiya. Is that on? It is on. Yay. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Yeah? Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pathetic. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you love what he's been up to this morning? I really feel that he's been pouring out a lot of his love and power this morning. It's fantastic. It's really great to just sit there and go, oh, yes. Excellent. This passage is set in the scene of recommissioning. The chapter begins with a narrative of some fishermen fishing, and it starts with Jesus asking the disciples if they've caught anything. And after telling them that they caught nothing, they cast their nets on the other side, and he says, cast your nets on the other side, and they catch loads. And if anyone knows their Bible relatively well, then they'll all know that when there's a similar narrative in Luke chapter 5, that when Jesus asks Peter to cast his nets on the other side after working all night, and then Peter, by the end of it, is saying, Lord, I'm not worthy of you, and, you know, it's a calling. It's a discipleship, it's a commission, and a calling to be a disciple of Christ. And that's what's happening here, is that, you know, that the disciples are being recommissioned, recalled, called back into the purpose that Jesus called them to in the first place, called back to fulfill the purpose as disciples and as apostles of Christ that they were called to in the first place. So you got a bunch of fishermen who are fishing, and then they've caught fish, and, you know, they've brought it back, and they're sitting with Jesus, you know? I can't imagine what it'd be like. I didn't know Jesus in the flesh, but I know him now. But I can't imagine what it'd been like to lose Jesus, to lose that relationship with him, to lose him personally and having seen him die. But I can imagine how devastating that I've lost people in my own life, and I know how devastating that is. And to lose someone as wonderful as Jesus must have shattered them completely. And then you've got this scene of, you know, you've got the previous two scenes. It says this is the third time that Jesus, after being raised to the dead, came to them. And the first time they're all like, I don't quite believe this, but okay. And then the second time you've got Thomas going, unless I stick my finger in places, well, that's not happening. I'm not believing. And now you've got this time where they're absolutely sure that this is Jesus. He's raised from the dead. And they're sitting on a beach, and they're eating some fish, and they're sitting around a fire, and the sun is rising in the west. Is that right? Rises in the east. There you go. Rising in the east. And it's just early, early in the morning because they've just been out all night fishing. And they're sitting on that beach and they're all together again. And Jesus is there. And they're together again in fellowship. It's like the whole nightmare of Jesus' crucifixion, which brings everything that we need as Christians, everything the world needs, but it was a nightmare for them. I can imagine it would be. It would be for me. And yet they're together again. And life must have been so good on that beach. Life must have been, you know, you get those rare moments in your life when you're in a field. I like fields, you know. Lying back, the grass is long and the butterflies are over your head and the sun's coming down and the wind's blowing. And you've got the company of your best friends. That's how good that must have been. And you don't want that moment to change for anything. It's so perfect. And that's that scene you've got right here. That everyone's being called back. Like it's happening again, like it has been before, that there's like it never happened. And it's, life is good. And I can imagine being Peter. Because I can imagine, like, Peter, you know, this passage about Peter's recommissioning specifically, because it, you know, it mentions Peter quite a lot, you know. If it mentions Peter quite a lot and actually is the main focus, you know, then you kind of believe that it's about his commissioning. But Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And I can imagine being Peter in that moment, just sitting there thinking, you know what? This is amazing, but I denied him. I denied him. But it's really good though. It's all fine, but I denied him. But I denied him, and that stirring and churning going on inside Peter, where there's this guilt within him and this knowledge that actually I did deny him. You know, I did say, I don't know that man, and walked away. I got quite irate about it when people asked me, and I denied him. And he's sitting right there in front of me, and I can't avoid it. I can't avoid it now. See, before I was fishing, I could avoid that. I could cover it up. I could try and get on with my life. I could try and put it under the carpet and see what I can get on with. And, you know, before I was just fishing. But now, I can't deny it. And the turmoil of guilt and the confusion that must have been within Peter. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we as Christians, we can sit in that and go, well, I've sinned a bit. Just a bit me, you know, I'm mostly perfect. And you laughed. And I know that there are times in my life where I will try and sweep my sin under the carpet and get on with life, because I need to get on with life, because you know, God has forgiven me. He's forgiven me, you know. He's forgiven me. And yes, he has forgiven me. I know that. I know that. Absolutely, he's forgiven me. But I know that I sinned. I know I've done something wrong, and I know that I need to come back to God, but I'm not doing that. But I can't deny it, because he continually is the God that we worship is on my case, because he loves me. And so it comes to the scene of absolute bliss and this turmoil in Peter. And Jesus, being Jesus, asks the bombshell that he always constantly asks. He places the bombshell right in front of it. I can imagine maybe being another disciple in there, going, life is so good. And then Jesus turning to Peter and going, Peter, son of John, do you love me? And most of the disciples going, what? What's he saying that for? What on earth is he turning to Peter and saying, do you love me? Jesus, it was nice. Now you just, you know, you've ruined the atmosphere. But there's this turmoil in Peter, and Jesus knows it. And there are 2 people in this relationship. There's Peter and there's Jesus. And, well, Peter's at the moment going, I can't help this. And there's something between me and you that we need to deal with, but I'm not dealing with it. I'm trying to sweep it under the carpet. But Jesus... This is why I love Jesus. There's many reasons, but this is one of the reasons. But Jesus won't let it go. Because Jesus loves Peter too much to let it go and to let him go. Because if Jesus knows that if Peter doesn't deal with this now, if Jesus doesn't deal with this with Peter, if Peter doesn't do business with God, with him, then there ain't no way, that this relationship will last very long. Because I've sinned quite a lot, you know. I need the blood of Jesus, please. And I know that when I've done things that I consider really, really bad, the last place I want to go is to the foot of the cross. The last person I want to speak to ever is the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know that I'm going to have to face my sin and admit that I was wrong. The last person that I will ever go to, so I will avoid him and avoid him and avoid him. But all that does it deal with the problem? No. That's your time of response. Does it deal with the problem?
No.
There you go. It doesn't deal with the problem. Because it just gets worse and worse and worse, and it becomes more of a mountain, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, until it becomes so difficult that you're like, and trust me, Satan loves it when that happens, because he just goes, hey, open door. I'm going to take advantage of this one. He doesn't really love you that much. You know? Whispering lies in your ear. But Jesus knows this conflict, and he knows what he has to do to resolve it. He knows that Peter's got to come, and he's got to say, he's got to come back. He's got to face his sin. He's got to admit that he's wrong. And he doesn't go and take Peter aside and say, you know you're forgiven. God loves you in that. No. He faces the sin. And he asks the question, do you love me? Not to flower around the situation, but to cut straight to it. Because he's saying, Peter, you denied me, and I want to know that if you love me. Sorry, I was looking at Pete there. And there you go. There you go. Maybe that one's for you. He's cutting to the chase. And this dead silence is among the disciples. He's cutting to the chase because the bombshell's been plucked. And Peter can only say, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And you think, oh, that's enough. He's confessed, he's confessed his love for Jesus. This is enough. And Jesus, you know, being Jesus restores him a little bit, because that's why he says, tend my lambs. This is what Peter's called to do. He's called to tend sheep and, well, people. But, you know, I go bear, apparently. He's called to do it. And this is Jesus restoring Peter a little by saying, tend my lambs. That's it. And you think, oh, I can imagine Peter going, whew, that's that done. And back to conversation. And then Jesus says, you know what, Peter, do you actually love me? Do you love me? And I've been like, well, I answered that question the first time, but okay. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says then, okay, tend my sheep. Tend my sheep. And again, he's restored to his original place, to his original position. Again, Jesus restores Peter, and then he says, right, Peter, do you, I mean it, do you genuinely, really, absolutely love me? And Peter just breaks down, man. It says that, you know, he's so grieved that Jesus asked him that third time. I can almost imagine the tears in Peter's face when it says, you know, he was grieved when Jesus asked him. And I can imagine all this, you know, sometimes you're like, you put this facade on, you're like, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm cool. But when someone pushes you to get a reaction, they'll get what's inside you. And I think one of the reasons that Jesus asked Peter, the main reason is because he denied him three times, so he's going to ask him three times to repent. But I think one of the reasons that Jesus asked him, because he wants to see what's inside. And he wants to show Peter how much he loves him. And he wants Peter to show himself how much he loves Jesus. And the reaction he gets is grief. And the words, Lord, you know all things. I can't hide from you. I can't hide my heart from you. I can't pretend that I love you or don't love you. You know it. You know that I love you. And Jesus restores him yet again, saying, tend my sheep. You know, I think sometimes when I've done something wrong, you know, I'll come to Jesus and I'll be like, right, okay, Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven me already. And you know, I think you've done this and this and this, you know, and right, okay, let's go on with my day, you know what I mean? But sometimes God has really got to get to the heart. He's got to get to where your guilt sits, because guilt, not part of his kingdom, not part of his plan for you. He loves you too much for you to live in a life of guilt. He loves you too much for you to be bound by that. He loves you too much. He's got to deal with the very issue that is on your heart. Because I know when I've done that, I've walked around still going, oh, I'm still guilty. And you've got to do business with God. And you've got to let God come straight to the quick in you and deal with you. And you might have to cry. okay? Which is a bloke is really hard. And you might have to let things come out of you. You know, the Bible says that if you ask for forgiveness, that he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You've got to do business with God before you can cleanse you. You've got to let him get in you and cleanse you and clean you out. Anoint you with the Holy Spirit so that you've got the power to live again. And that's what's happening with this Peter guy. This disciple of Jesus who was so zealous for the Lord. I'm not joking. He wasn't just some guy who was tromping about with Jesus for 3 years. He was so zealous. So zealous. Before he denied Jesus, he was like, "Oh Lord, I'll follow you even to your death. I'll go to the cross with you. I'll do this with you. I'll do that with you." And Jesus is like, "Shut up. I know what you're going to do." So it's not like someone, you know, who just has this lukewarm relationship with Jesus Christ. He is following, he followed Jesus with such zeal and with passion. But now Jesus is restoring Peter. But his motivation now isn't for zeal and passion, although he's passionate and zealous. You can read it next. But it's out of love. Because he's been changed inside by this. Okay. You feel weird when a preacher does that. It's like, oh, yes. Anyway. And then, well, obviously, Peter and Jesus get up and they start to walk away from the disciples. It kind of doesn't say that. Well, it does, but it doesn't, you know. Yeah, I'm not going to go into it. You can read it for yourselves. And they start to walk away, and, you know, you got probably Jesus' hand around Peter. And Peter's saying, you know, Jesus is saying to Peter, once when you were young, you know, you would guard yourself, you'd put your clothes on, you'd look all dapper, and you'd go wherever you want to go. But one day, someone's going to guard you. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. It means someone's going to martyr you one day, son. And Peter, being Peter, because I love Peter because I'm like him, he's a bit of a loudmouth, turns to John, who's kind of probably walking a wee bit behind because he loves Jesus, turns to John and goes, "What about him? What's going to happen to him?" And Peter's like, and Jesus is like, "What's it to you if he stays alive for all eternity on this earth? You know, what's it to you if he doesn't die until I come back?" You know, and all the disciples going, "He's never going to die. How lucky him, come on." And obviously John decides to sort that out, and he's like, "Well, actually, it's not that case." You know, that's why that whole bit's at the back. But, you know, Peter's saying, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus says, "Never you mind him. Follow me. Follow me." Because he's been recommissioned, he's been restored. And you know, Peter had this problem in the past of, like, what people say. Do you know what I mean? What people have to do. He was easily, you know, he followed other people and what they said and what their opinions were set up. And Jesus is like, "Well, don't even worry about him. I've got his back. You worry about following me." You know? Because sometimes we just get caught in this environment where we're sinning and guilty and sinning and guilty and sinning and guilty, and we're really bringing things to God, but we're not moving on. And the way that you move on is just to say, "Lord Jesus, lead me. Be my teacher. Be my Lord. Be my master. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. I've got this problem in my life. I want you to speak to me about it. What do I do about it?" You know, as a Christian, I found it so difficult. In fact, I found that the biggest revelation in my life was when I found out that I could ask God about everything. Even the things that I was struggling about, and not just, "Oh, I feel depressed inside," but the fact that I sin and that God doesn't want me to, and I can take that to God. I can say, "God, this is a trouble. What do I do about it?" You know, what do I do about it? What do I need to do about it? We need to follow him, not worry about other people. You know, I'm not get this, weigh ourselves up against others. You know, Phil's super holy, and you look at Phil and you're like, "I could never be Phil." You don't need to worry about being Phil. You need to worry about following Jesus. You know? You need to worry about following Jesus. So I want to ask you, are you in that place this morning where you need to do business with Jesus? It's all right. It's cool. You know, Phil got this picture this morning of Jesus doing a dad's doorstep challenge. And he wants to come. He wants you to come near him. He wants you to come and just do business with him. There's no condemnation. He's not going to come and wag the foot. Yeah, you did it again. No, he's not. Sorry, I keep pointing at Pete. Clearly, this is a word for you. No, I'm joking. But, you know, where was I? Yeah, he's not going to come and wag the finger at Pete. He might, no, I'm joking. He's coming to open with open arms. Paul says that where sin abounds, grace abounds also. And that there is grace for you to come to God and grace for you to come back. Yeah, it's going to be painful for you to come and deal with that stuff inside you because, well, that's the reason I mostly avoid it because I know it's painful to admit when I'm wrong. But do you know what? God's going to make it. God is going to come and deal with the sin within you. Deal with the guilt within you. He wants to come and deal with that, you know? The only person, the only being that's ever going to deal with your sin is the one who's dealt with it. Yeah, I like that. Amen. The only person that's ever going to deal with your sin is the one that's dealt with it. And it's been dealt with. So he's not going to sit there and say, right, okay, so you need to do your penance now and go and run like this and, you know, jump in a cold bath and fast for 10 days. No, he's not. The penance is done. Your sins are committed. Your sins are forgiven. You just have to come back and face God and say, God, do you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I messed up. And God goes, I forgive you. Come. Come and follow me. If you're in this place this morning where you need to do business with God, come and do business with him. Are you in a place this morning where God needs to restore you? Only he can do it. Only Jesus can forgive you. Only Jesus can recommission you to a place where you were commissioned beforehand. Only Jesus can put you in that place where you're following him. Do you feel separate from God this morning because of sin? Do you feel apart from him? If so, if he's waiting, and he desires deeply to restore you, come and do business with Jesus. Come and let him cut through the rubbish that's in your life. Come and let him ask those questions that you don't want asked. Come and let him do what he needs to do so he can restore peace to you and bring you life. I'm going to pray, but before I do, I just want to share a word with you that God gave me this morning. And every time more I went through this morning's service, I just felt the Lord say, you've got to tell them that I love them. And I want to tell you that God loves every single one of you. Without doubt, he loves you. 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 And there is nothing that you can do to ever make God love you anything less. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you bring freedom, that you bring love, that you bring grace, that you bring mercy, and that you know how to deal with us, Lord. You know how to deal with the problems that we face. You know how to deal with the struggles that we have. You know how to deal with the guilt within us. You know all things and you've seen all things beforehand. There is nothing new under the sun before you, Lord Jesus. There is no unique case, Lord Jesus. There's no unloved or unlovable person under this earth to you, Father God, that you have seen it all and you yet will still love us and still have us back as your children and as adopted. I pray, Holy Spirit, come and move now as we worship you in forgiveness and grace and peace and in mercy. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.